This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
All right, guys. Welcome back. EYL, we are on location, special location.
Special
right
location.
Now.
We are in New York, though.
Yes, yes, yes. NBA headquarters. We are at the G League suite. Is this a G League suite?
We're going to call it the G League Suite.
This is now the G League Suite.
Yes. Take over.
You know, anytime you're in New York City, you're in the corner office, you're important.
For sure. For sure. So Sharif Abdul-Rahim, basketball legend, but now is the president of the NBA G League. So we actually are going to be announcing some exciting things that EYL and G League will be doing together. So
it's making sense.
Yeah, it's fitting to have this conversation. We're going to be talking about all things business related when it comes to sports, the G League, marketing, promotion, and of course, you know, his interesting journey from Atlanta to
third pick,
Canada to now running the G League.
Yeah, the kids these days will probably not remember there was a franchise of Vancouver, but there was a franchise of Vancouver.
For sure.
And this was the franchise player.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. I said this off camera, but thank you for everything you're doing. You know, I think educating, you know, all of us, exposing people. You know, I just shared, I took a clip, you know, just recently and shared it with my younger brother who's interested in real estate. So you know, what you guys are doing is phenomenal and empowering to a lot of people. So
thank you.
I appreciate it.
So what it's about.
All right, so let's get into it. So first, I'll give the backstory for anybody that doesn't know. So yeah, you're from Atlanta.
Yep.
McDonald's All-American, one of the best players. And then you went to Georgia Tech?
I went to
Cal Berkeley.
Cal, and then...
Pac-10 freshman of the year?
Yep.
And then you have an illustrious career in the NBA. But a lot of people struggle after their post-playing career, right? Now it's like the lottery to try to become a broadcaster. But only few people can actually really be successful as a broadcaster. And a lot of guys, you know, they're just trying to figure it out. They make money. Some people have not made great decisions with their money and they fall on financial hardships. But you're somebody who obviously has figured it out after his career. And now you're an executive, you know, in the NBA, you know, running the G League. So I first want to just, you know, what was that transition like for you? Was this something that you always kind of had in mind that you wanted to stay in sports, but on an executive level? And mentally, how was it transitioning from being a star basketball player your whole life to now, you know, being a regular citizen?
Yeah. You know, one, I think the transition like starts at the beginning, you know, and I kind of picked that up from like, God, you know, the Magic Johnsons, the Isaiah Thomas, the guys before me who I saw do really well as they transitioned from playing and just talking to them and understanding things that they were doing, meeting people, learning, being curious while they were playing. And so I said, started there. When I retired, I had the opportunity. I retired with the Sacramento Kings. I retired early. You know, my knee, you know, I had some trouble with my knee and I couldn't, you know, the last 3 years of my contract, I couldn't play. And, you know, in the NBA, contracts are guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So I was still getting paid, but I couldn't play. And the organization asked me to stay and help out and, you know, help out with, you know, mentor some of the younger players. The guy who was the president, then a guy named Jeff Petrie, what he allowed me to do was to, you know, he asked me to mentor and help younger players, but, you know, go do whatever else you want to do. So I would go and I would meet with the CFO. I'd go meet with the person who was over marketing, you know, all the areas of the organization I had never had exposure to. And, you know, what that did for me was just opened up, like, the idea that this is a business. And like, wow, all these, you know, we had this media deal going on and this marketing deal. And okay, so when you guys asked us to come to this, you know, mixer, you know, to this, you know, social engagement, this is really what it was about. So I spent 2 years doing that. I was, you know, kind of the one and done era. I was at the front of that, myself and Stephon Marbury. But in this time that I'm, you know, playing in the NBA and, you know, now transitioning, I was trying to finish school. I'm in Sacramento, you know, the Northern California, Berkeley was about an hour away. So during this time I went and I finished, my undergrad at Berkeley. You know, from there, you know, I kind of worked in some different areas in sports. And, you know, before long, I kind of transitioned. I went back and got my master's. And when I finished, that led me, you know, back here to the NBA. I'd done an internship here at the NBA one summer. So long story short, that led me. But it came just from being curious, you know, not wanting, you know, just my playing career to be the end of, you know, what I could contribute and what I could do. I wasn't sure exactly, you know, where it would lead me and what I would do. But it's been, you know, again, I think I've been able to take my experience playing, you know, my experience around the business and, you know, now, you know, cultivate that into, you know, leading the G League.
So, I mean, that's interesting, right? Because most people, when they think intern, they think, all right, that's the person that's going to do the job for free, that's going to learn on the fly. Being a star, being an all-star, right? Going from that part of life to now being an intern and having to start over again in a different realm, was there any anxiety, any angst, or did you have that year of that you were going around meeting CFOs, it really prompted you to say, all right, I'm comfortable in these settings. I'm going to attack this thing head on. I'm going to start from the beginning. I'm going to work my way up.
Well, you know, one, you know, I was like, I did it. I was in, so, you know, after a number of years with the Kings organization, I left and, you know, I went and went to grad school, went to business school. And in between my first year and my second year, I was like, I want to experience. I want to, you know, go learn being a, you know, just being a regular setting is hard to do that. So I you know, made some calls and emailed some people. And Mark Tatum, who's the deputy commissioner, I got in touch with him and I was telling him what I was doing. You know, the story I tell is like, I was like all over the place. And he was like, look, you know, okay, we'll figure it out. But I ended up, you know, interning here at the NBA. And, you know, like, you know, what I did, you know, honestly, I borrow from my background. Like, you know, you got to start somewhere, you know, like even in, you know, LeBron didn't show up being LeBron, you know, like, you know, Jordan didn't show up being Jordan. You know, nobody, you have to, you know, you kind of have to start where you are. You know, we all need people to help us and educate us. And then you have to be willing to do the work and kind of, you know, be open enough to learning. So in that part of it, you know, like I was fine. And, you know, yeah, it's some anxiety. You don't know what you don't know, but you know, you're willing to learn and kind of, you know, ingratiate yourself to people in a way that, you know, people are willing to help and show you the way. So, yeah, for me, I never, you know, again, like I never, you know, got so tied to the idea of, you know, like the all, like that was nice, but you know, I when I was young, I read a thing that said that, you know, if all I did in life was, you know, like this thing, and that's all people knew me for, then I did a poor job of living. So I never wanted that to just be, you know, what I was known for, the only thing that I could do. So I never, you know, I tried not to, you know, just be labeled as, you know, a basketball player.
So, all right, so let's get into this G League conversation. So everybody knows about the NBA, right? And they know, kind of heard about the G League, Development League. Can you explain exactly what the G League is, how it works, the teams, all that, to kind of give people a greater, you know, idea of the G League?
So the G League, and, you know, in its, you know, first iteration, the NBA Development League, you know, now G League, Gatorade League. And we're in our 22nd year of, you know, existence. We are the official development league, affiliate league of the NBA. So if you know, if somebody's a baseball fan, you think of minor league baseball, AAA baseball. And we are, you know, if you are a player and you know, maybe it didn't happen for you out of college, you know, in years past, you know, the G League, D League then is where you would come to hone your skills, continue to grow, just continue to, you know, in some cases you're there, you're ready, you know, just wait for opportunity. So, you know, Seth Curry, you know, Steph's younger brother, you know, spent, you know, 4 or 5 years with us. Jordan Poole, before he really, you know, took off, he, you know, spent some time with us. Jeremy Lin, you know, countless, you know, players. I think now the stat is, you know, somewhere over 50% of current NBA players have G League experience. So, you know, everything from, you know, players that were passed up in the NBA draft, young NBA players. Last year, half of the lottery picks spent time in the G League. Half of the first round spent time in the G League. So, you know, players that were passed up in the draft, young NBA players trying to, you know, find their way, develop their game. They're so, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, still trying to find a role for themselves with an NBA team. And now we have our Team Ignite, which is primarily made up of younger guys that will be draft eligible. So the Jalen Greens, you know, in the past, Jonathan Kuminga, Scoot Henderson this past draft.
So what's the Team Ignite? Can you explain that?
So Team Ignite is a league, NBA, G League owned and operated team. They're based in Henderson, Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas. And that team plays in the G League. They play the same, you know, schedule, same teams as everyone else. But it's primarily made up of young players that come from high school. You know, some come from abroad, come international, and that will, you know, 1-2 years enter the NBA draft. So, you know, again, you know, Jalen Green now, yeah, you know, everyone knows him. He was started with us with Team Ignite.
So Scoot Henderson
yeah, this past draft started with us. So that's our league made up. We're 30 NBA teams with 31 G League teams. We'll be 32. Phoenix is the only NBA team that doesn't have a connection to the G League. They'll be in. I feel really good in the real near future. And then we have a team in Mexico City, independent team, not connected to an NBA team. And then again, Team Ignite. So that's our league. That's our purpose. That's what we do. We also a place where, you know, young coaches grow up. You know, if you follow Nick Nurse, 76ers, champion. Head coach, started with us.
Yeah, champion in both leagues.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. all of our officials, if you're an NBA official, you started in the G League. You developed and grew through the G League. We test rules. So if you watch, you know, Coach's Challenge, a new rule in the NBA, we did Coach's Challenge in the G League 4 or 5 years before it reached the NBA. We test it. We analyze it. We can kind of show success rates going back, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, so all of this we did, shot clock. If you see the shot clock, you know, it used to be always that, like, there was a foul in between the play. It go from, you know, reset at 24. You know, we started the
14.
Yeah. You know, we're a league of innovation as well.
Yeah, so Ignite is interesting because not only does it give an alternative for the kid who wants to come out of high school and may not be eligible, right? I think that you have to be 1 year post-grad. They don't have to go overseas. I know that was a route that Melo took, and then prior to him, Brandon Jennings took. But they can get compensated differently, right? So, like, I know the average salary for the G League, it might be, I don't know, anywhere between 1,500. But the guys who are looking like they're going to be a first-round pick or lottery pick, really top five, they can take on a larger salary. The guys like Scoot Henderson, and we were talking about Dink. Talk about that process of them knowing that they're lottery picks and being able to take on salaries that are different from the average player.
Yeah. So it came from, you know, like the impetus of it came from just this idea of young, like, guys were like looking for like different paths. You know, in my day, like, it was no question, you know, it's high school, college. You know, I was of the era of like Kevin Garnett, and when he told us he was going to the NBA, I was like, man, you crazy, like, he's gonna kill you, right?
Like, one year before you,
right? So but you saw more and more young guys looking for different opportunities. We think we're a perfect place for guys to grow and develop, and with that, obviously, you want to be able to pay them their like market rate. And so I think we've been able to do that with the Scoots and Kamingas and Jalen's. But in addition to that, like, we've also opened up, there's no restrictions on them, what they can go and do beyond just, you know, the salary they make playing in the G League. So, like, Scoot, for example, you know, while he was with us, he signed, you know, we're a Nike league. He went and, you know, signed a deal with Puma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jalen had his suite of marketing partnerships and things. So pre NIL, you know, they were able to go and, you know, kind of be professionals, mm-hmm. truly be professionals with no restrictions. So it's worked well in that regard. I think they, you know, they're more than talented enough to play in our league. And then just the opportunities for them to kind of start their professional careers beyond, and then beyond the salary, we still pay, you know, their tuitions, you know, whether they want to start, you know, college now, or they want to start in the future, we pay for them to go to school. You know, we have, you know, what I kind of think of as a whole suite of, you know, like practical education, financial literacy. You know, we start teaching them about the CBA. You know, now we start, if they have other, you know, interests, you know, we try to explore and help them, you know, kind of start exploring those interests.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to, you know, just comprehensive help them, you know, on the court and off the court, develop and grow and prepare for the NBA.
So, okay. So what's the revenue model for the G League? Because obviously the NBA, you know, television deals and a lot of money is generated, but people don't really see the G League on television. And they playing in much smaller arenas. Corporate sponsorships, I'm assuming, is a lot lower than what it is in the NBA. So
the model is the same model. So, you know, still same, you know, media, you know, sponsorship, tickets, you know, same model, is just, you know, smaller, you know, obviously. And then, you know, as a league, to, you know, as we want to grow, like, all of those areas of what we have to grow in. So we have the benefit of being connected and included in a lot of what the NBA does. So we have a, you know, we have national.
So is the idea to be profitable? I think the WNBA wasn't, I don't know if they're even profitable now, but I know that obviously it's under the NBA umbrella, right? So does the NBA care about the G League being profitable?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Oh,
okay. Yeah, we got to keep these lights on.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt. No doubt. That's what I spend a lot of my time on. Is,
so you find new ways to make it more profitable?
Finding, you know, new ways to help our teams be profitable, to grow the league to where it's profitable. You know, in some ways, looking at our league and say, okay, like, what's the next model for the G League? Like, we, meaning the league, pays the players. You know, in a typical model, you know, say NBA, MLB, the teams pay the players, right? So, you know, we're at, again, you know, this was like the early days of the G League. It was like 8 teams. They were primarily in the Southeast. They were in places like Columbus, Georgia, and Roanoke, Virginia. You know, we now, again, like, you know, evolved. We're almost, you know, 1-to-1 with our NBA teams. And, you know, so, you know, sometimes the question is, do we still have the, you know, should it be, you know, a different model now? Or, you know, how do we grow, you know, maybe even beyond just the 30 NBA teams to help us grow? You know, what's the future? So that's, you know, that's what we spend a lot of our time on.
So that's interesting. So, like, let's take the Knicks. We're here in New York. James Dolan is the owner of the Knicks. He, the Westchester Knicks are affiliate, but James Dolan doesn't pay the salary of the Westchester Knicks. That's up to the NBA.
Or the G League,
right? Yeah. So then the revenue that's taken from those type of games, that goes back to the league as well?
No, that's the Westchester Knicks.
Westchester Knicks. Okay, yeah. Good. So and when we talk about the teams, because they all have—
And let me be clear, yeah. the NBA and the NBA team, they support the G League in that, so that they have— that's how a player, you know, any player, they, you know, the Knicks can pull any player from any team that's a G League. You know, that's how— so they have that ability because they, you know, they support, they contribute to the G League. But, you know, there's still, you know, areas and ways where we have to, as a league, you know, grow.
So when we'll stay with the Knicks. If in that event, if they have a player that is on Westchester and they get called up, I guess if we're looking at farm system or developmental leagues, when they get the call up, they can sign something that's called like a 2-way contract.
They can do that. You can, you know, so you can have on— in our rosters, you can have, again, it could be, you know, young NBA players that are assigned. So they'd be contracted NBA players. So we hear it's the Knicks. Manuel Quickley probably wouldn't be, but let's just say, you know, he comes to mind, young player. He could be assigned to our league, Westchester Knicks. You know, you could have, you know, player that was undrafted that's just a G League contracted player that, again, the league is paying, the G League is paying. And you can have then, you know, this third contract that you mentioned, a 2-way contract. Those players are still, for the most part, contracted 2-way players.
So,
or contracted NBA players.
Okay.
So this Ignite conversation. So it's always been issues with players that want to come straight to the NBA, right? Ever since they stopped. But now it's— a lot of different things have happened over the course of the last 20 years. But at one point, it looked like players were going to start going overseas. We saw Brandon Jennings went overseas and LaMelo Ball, but that never really went anywhere other than a couple cases. Then OTE starts their thing. That's still kind of figuring out how that's going to work out. Do you think that Ignite at some point will be like a primary choice for top high school players to go to instead of going to college?
I think it can be. I think we are in a position to be able to facilitate it. I think the what you have now, and I think is a good thing, is them having the option to like make decisions for themselves. So and you always had that. You always had it. I don't think it has to be, you know, honestly, to that, I don't think it has to be, you know, G League or Ignite or, you know, college or anything else over, you know, one choice. Like, you know, again, like in my time, you know, Tim Duncan stayed 3 extra years of college. He probably could have been the number one pick, you know, 2 or 3 years in a row. Okay, so like you've always had that, you know, option of, you know, but at that time it was just college or the NBA. And I think now it's, you know.
Well, they stopped. So Jalen
What's he?
Rose. We interviewed Jalen Rose. Shout out to Jalen Rose. He had an interesting perspective on his take was that the only sports that don't let players come straight out of high school are sports that are dominated by black people.
Hmm.
He was like, when you have tennis, it's normal. Soccer, people are playing at 15 years old. And every other sport pretty much. But he was like, basketball and football, it's interesting that those sports don't allow you to come straight out of high school. And by not allowing you to come out of high school, there's a lot of other people that's making a lot of money, millions and billions of dollars, whether it's colleges, whether it's whatever. So what's your thoughts on specifically basketball players not being able to come? Because there was a point, some of the best players of all time have come out of high school. The greatest player of all time, right? LeBron.
Arguably.
So what's your thoughts on
it? Arguably, with you.
What's your thoughts coming out of high school and how does that impact?
Yeah, I think in this era, again, like the idea that you have the option. I think with NIL now, with what we're doing with the G League, if it's overtime, if it's abroad, the fact that a young person can go and make money and take care of themselves that in the way that they choose to. So if I can go to school and if I could have went to school and made, you know, X amount of money, like that would in my situation, that would have been like a world of difference. So it was less about like the control of entering the NBA or wherever. And it was, you know, the ability to be able to like take care of yourself and earn a salary and earn money, you know, based on, you know, other people profiting on you. I think that, to me, I think that's really important. Like when you get into the, you know, the age and the, you know, at what point, all those things are like, you know, collectively agreed upon between like leagues and players, right? Like, so, you know, that part, I don't, you know, I think the part that is like really important is that the players have the options and the abilities to be able to go and, you know, start making money, monetize, take care of themselves.
What, do you think that players should be able to go to the NBA straight out of high school?
I think they are, I think it's something that's good enough. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, obviously it's something that's good enough, you know, but, you know, to say all of them, you know, again, like it has to work for like both sides. It has to work for the leagues. Yeah. It has to work for like for the players, and the players have to agree that's the right thing. The leagues have to agree, have to get together to agree that, you know, this group of players should be able to be a part of our league. I think for us from a G League standpoint, having that option, you know, I think it helps some of that conversation.
I feel like every time we hear that conversation, it's like, yes, there's a LeBron James, there's a Kobe Bryant, Tracy McGrady, but there's also a Corleone Young from your age, from your day, where it's like, or a Lenny Cook who doesn't make it. But I want to stay with Ignite because I feel like the spreading and the growth of the brand is kind of not reliant, but it has a big purpose in having Ignite as a showcase team, in a sense, where I remember last year when it was like, we all heard about Victor Wembanyama, when will we be able to see him to play? And it was like, okay, he's going to play versus Scoop in Ignite. And it was like, okay, now the focus is now on the league, right? We get to see the kids from Ignite, and now we get to see Vic. How is scheduling for that, right? Because that's not a regular team that's playing. They're playing an international team. And I know now we have another showcase. We have another star that's coming from France. And now you have Ron Holland on Ignite, who we all thought was going to Texas, is now on Ignite. How does that work in terms of scheduling and making it a showcase game?
Yeah, I mean, the coordination of it, you're trying to, you know,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Obviously connect with, you know, we're a league, you're trying to connect with a league, in this case, you know, an international league, and, you know, kind of tie in the timing of their season with the timing of our season, and, you know, take one team and, you know, bring them here. So, I mean, it gets, it's not, you know, seamless. Like there's a lot of moving parts to it. And, you know their, Victor, their team played in the LNB Pro A League in France. So like, you know, the timing of their schedule of their league games to be able to come here and play those games, against Ignite. Again, they had to do some things on their end to make it work. We had to do some things to make sure it made it work. This season we brought in the team from Australia, Perth, and they matched up against Ron and Matis Bruzelis. You know, the idea is, you know, again, like it started in, you know, say with Scoot and Victor, and you take, okay, the two most highly touted players in that draft. Again, this year, you know, with Ron and Alex Saar, same thing, two of the top highly touted. Like when, you know, again, like bringing this talent from around the world and allowing people to be able to, see them, witness them before they, you know, get to the NBA. I think we all remember, you know, seeing, say, LeBron and Carmelo play in their, like, high school game at that time and, you know, how legendary that was. My thought is like some years later, people will remember seeing Scoot and Victor, and, you know, and that will be in a G League game essentially. So, part of what we want to be able to do as a league is, introduce, the best young players around the world to people, you know, ahead of the NBA.
Is there a process, right? If a kid is super talented, let's say, he's top 10 in his high school class. Is this a process for them to become a member of Ignite? Or, like, how do you do that? Do you sit down with 20 guys and say, all right, these five or these three are the ones that we're going to allow to be on the team? Or is there a tryout process?
I mean, I think it's probably more of an education process. And, like, it doesn't fit for everyone. Like, everyone won't, think it's the right decision for them. Like, this year, the Ignite team this year had more draft eligible, I think eight, like that's the most like we've had, in the league at one time. And then I think, throughout the league, we probably have another 8 or 10, something a lot of people don't know. Like there are other, guys that can go in the draft. They just play on our, other, standard G League teams. So like the opportunity is there, we explain, coach Jason Hart is the coach. He explains it to, everyone. Andre Barrett is like our program director. They explain it. You remember Dre?
It's crazy. You're saying Jason Hart. I remember him playing at Syracuse.
Yeah. So they explain, like to families and educate them, and this is what it's about. And for the most part, so far, I think we're, kind of growing to a point where one team to, for that demographic of player is tough. We've been able to, take care of the guys and get them opportunity.
So, okay. So for the star player, they're obviously going to make a lot more money in Europe, right? But I guess the advantage of the G League is that it's an easier call up.
It's the proximity.
It's an easier call up, right?
Yeah, it's the, I played last night in Westchester or Long Island, and Brooklyn needs a player or is looking at a player. I mean, you have, NBA executives, NBA scouts, personnel, every G League game. And in some cases, they're talking and have players as a part of their development system. Even though they're not quite yet at the NBA level, they're checking the interest and seeing them grow. And develop.
So is this a conversation that GMs or coaches have or players' agents to try to convince them, like, look, you're going to make more money in Greece, but this is why you should play in the G League? Or
yeah, if you really, I think the idea is, like, if you really believe you're an NBA player, like, there's no, I let, the team basketball people say this, but, like, they say, like, the G League is the second best
league in the world. Yeah,
right.
So do you think it's the second best league in the world?
If you take our league with, yes, and I say that because if you take our league with, young NBA players, G League players in his strongest form. Like his, like the level of basketball, I think, the quality of basketball is only second to the NBA. And, you know, again, if you truly believe you're an NBA player and you're a young player, and that's what you're going for, is no, you know, maybe you can make a little more money somewhere else, but it's nowhere that you're going to get an opportunity to show that than, you know, playing in the G League.
What is the call-up process?
They're simply, you know, if you, you know, you, you know, again, we use the Knicks because we're here, right? I'm the Knicks and, you know, I have an open roster spot, or I need a particular player, you know, player's injured, you know, I call, you know, that player's agent, you know, hey, we're, you know, we're interested, we're gonna, you know, sign them. We wanna sign, you know, X player. You know, sometimes it's what we have, like 10-day contracts, where it's a 10-day contract where you get paid, you know, a certain rate over, you know, 10 days. Or sometimes, you know, it's two-way, you know, it's, you know, mm-hmm. we want to sign them to a two-way contract, or, some, you know, at times just a standard, you know, contract for that season or beyond. And, you know, then it, you alert the player and the team and, you know, and usually 24, 48 hours they in market.
They're calling their parents like, I got the call up.
Yeah.
So in terms of the salaries for the team, is there a cap that the league has set for each team? And like, what's the average salary per player?
These are good questions. So are all of our players make the same, meaning the G League pays all of our players the same salary, mm-hmm. you know, $41,500 is a G League salary
for everybody,
for every player. Now there was a time, again, like earlier iterations, you had we had these things. You know, some people they won't even, like Mark, you guys won't even remember this, but we had like A contract, B contract, C contracts, and you know, kind of tiered, and you know, we got rid of that. So, but that's the standard G League salary, right? But then you. You also, you know, you have players that go to NBA training camp and they get paid a certain amount of money for, you know, they may go to training camp and they get a certain amount of money. They get, you know, a 10-day contract we talked about, or they're on a two-way contract, they move. So the average salary for a G League player is, you know, closer to, you know, probably $100,000 than that, you know, that salary they get paid from playing in the G League.
Yeah, I was looking at that and I was trying to figure, I'm like, I saw the 41, but it said the average person is making anywhere between 100 to 125, but because you add those things into it. Are there specific teams that players are more advantageous to go to because of the winning culture, right? Like, for example, like the LA team, obviously doesn't, it's an affiliate of the Lakers, but they haven't won at the same clip, whereas the Toronto affiliate, right, has won some chips. And do players look at it like that?
Like, look, we all are, like, I can't sell, you know, I'm speaking of our teams now as it relates to, like, players. You can't sell, and you can't sell, you're not selling, you know, I can pay you more money because, you know, everybody makes the same salary. What you're selling is the opportunity to grow and develop. And, like, some teams have a track record for, here go all the guys mm-hmm. that came through here and started here. And, you know, this is what's, you know, their future. This is what happened for them when they left here. So, yeah, 100%. But I think it's more based on, because in our league, like, you know, guys are interested in how I can grow, how I can develop. They're betting on themselves, and they want, you know, a team that's going to help them, you know, reach their goals.
So what's some of the marketing initiatives that you guys have put in place over the last couple of years to help grow visibility for the G League?
Yeah, we have really you know, I think strong partnership with the General, with, you know, marketing and, you know, content.
The insurance company?
Yes. So that's been a, you know, we do a what's the name? The Break, where we've done content with them. And you know, Shaq is a,
I was gonna say, yeah, Shaq
is a big
yeah,
sponsor.
So then, it's not
so
funny.
Then Shaq, you know, obviously is kind of the voiceover. Nike is, you know, obviously we're a Nike league, so that's the connection and benefit that we get from being connected to Nike is always huge. And then with the Gatorade, you know, I think a lot of times what people miss is the G League, like we're the Gatorade League. And, you know, that connection is huge. And then, you know, I think one that's new that's coming up is our partnership with the Hyatt. And, you know, what that did, that allowed us to take our G League Winter Showcase, which the last 4 years had been in Las Vegas, that's allowed us to take it, and now we'll be in Orlando. And that's all of our teams. You know, you just think of like a basketball convention. That's, you know, all of our teams there, all of the NBA general managers.
You know, was it like combine?
It's like combines on steroids, because they're actually playing, you know, we're playing competitive games. You're playing real games. We've had, you know, a couple of years ago, you have players leaving from there, getting signed, going to NBA teams. You know, we have our competition, like so the first 14 games of our NBA season, we talked about in-season tournament before, the first 14 games of our season are essentially a tournament. And the top eight teams from this part of our season, when we go to showcase, they're competing for $100,000. And, you know, so then you break that up, 10 G League players, 10,000 apiece. Like our guys are, you know, you add that to the 41.5, that, you know, again, that takes that up. But that, they're going for that, you know, hard. But so all of, you know, all of those parts of, you know, our season, that's included in that. But those are, you know, I'd say to the question, you know, obviously what we've done, you know, with the general, that's a like a G League standalone partnership. It's not, you know, NBA and G League. That's a G League partnership. Nike is huge. Gatorade is huge. And then what we're doing now with the Hyatt taking this event there, the showcase is you know, really excited. But, you know, other things, you know, JLab, you know, Moneyline, that's a Ignite partnership. You know, OVO was a, you know, an Ignite partnership. So a lot of them, but, you know, I'd say those are the ones that are doing, you know, kind of the most exciting things with us right now.
Yeah, let's talk about probably one of the biggest marketing moments in G League history.
The biggest.
I mean, Matt McClung, pride of Georgetown.
Yeah.
Wins the dunk contest, but he's a part of the G League, right? He's not on an NBA roster at the time. Talk about what that moment meant to the league.
I think you say like partnerships and marketing. I think, you know, all these things that we do, like with the NBA, like you can't, you know, like All-Star probably second to the finals is the biggest platform the NBA has. So for us to be able to come and find ways to be included. In All-Star last year, we were included in, you know, every day of All-Star. So we were, you know, we were a part of the rookie game. Now we're one of the teams. There's a G League team in the rookie, in the Rising Stars rookie sophomore game, dunk contest with Mac. And then we had our, you know, our up next game on Sunday. And, you know, with Mac to be a G League player and to go, you know, not only, you know, won, but like did stuff like we hadn't seen that stuff before. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, just really like put on the show, and you see all the you know, Giannis and, you know, everybody else celebrating them, you know, for our guys, that's everything. And the ability, you know, for us to then go and amplify that, those moments, you can't, you gotta be ready for them. You know, it's like, you gotta be ready for those moments, because, you know, you don't get them, you know, every day in the G League.
I could imagine the Sixers affiliate jerseys being sold out.
yeah.
Well, let's talk about, since you're talking about All-Star and partnerships, another extremely intelligent decision on you guys' behalf.
Yeah. This is a bright league, man. Bright future.
Very innovative, for sure.
Yep.
So Earn Your Leisure will be a part of this year's All-Star festivities with you guys, collaboration. So we're gonna be picking the All-Star team.
Gonna be drafting. Already.
And it's actually going to be the EYL team.
That's a fact.
And then we're going to be live streaming the game.
This is going to be good. You know, you played basketball your whole life.
For sure.
I don't think they know that. So this is going to be fun to sit down and do a game, man. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So, Yeah, let's talk about that. You know, whose bright idea was that?
So the idea of the game is, you know, up next, that's, you know, our best, you know, our brightest G League players, and, you know, not all-star, because it's only one all-star game, right? Like, they all want to be in the big all-star game. So that, you know, that the concept of that is to be able to celebrate our G League players during all-star weekend and bring them there. And then, you know, we did that last year. Now, said, you know, our group, you know, how can we, like, make it even, you know, something different, innovative, creative? And the idea there was, okay, let's you know, kind of partner with someone to say, okay, you know, you have your own team, you know, pick the team. So we break the teams up into four teams. Mark was. Yeah, so we'll break the teams up into four teams. One of the teams will be the EYL team. You guys will be able to pick your own team. And we're going to, you know, the way the game will go, we'll try to, you know, kind of make it 2K-ish, you know, where it's, you know, faster pace and kind of gamified. You know, you'll be able to stream it on your platform. So stream, you know, distribute it in different ways. And just make it a different, you know, again, like a different experience of a game, and get really creative. And, you know, you guys, you know, being willing to be a part of that is obviously huge.
I'm telling
for
you.
Us, and it's going to be, I think, you know, again, empowering and a great, great opportunity for our guys.
General managers.
Yeah. I mean, I told the guys, I've been watching, I'm already watching the G League, but now I'm even more intently watching because I got a scout to see who's going to be on a team, because we don't come to just be a part of things. Right. We only participate because we're coming to win everything.
Yeah.
So we appreciate the opportunity to come and win.
No doubt.
Yeah, but I definitely appreciate it for sure. And is this something that, you know, you guys want to do more of, as far as, you know, untraditional type marketing, reaching, we're in a different world now, right, where people are consuming content different. It's not just a matter of watching television, right? It's a matter of social media, it's a matter of YouTube, it's a matter of podcasts, a variety of different things. So is that something that, you know, you guys are embracing more on that online social media marketing type of platforms?
Yeah, no doubt. And we have to, you know, one, just, you know, like the younger fans that we want to reach, and, you know, that we want connected to the G League, and to be able to introduce, you know, again, like new fans, younger fans, that, you know, we can even be the first stop to them becoming NBA fans. And then that's just, again, as a league, like when I talk about testing rules and, you know, introducing, you know, new concepts to the game, that's, you know, like League of Innovation, that's what we want to be known as. So I think this is even, you know, a further step in that direction.
All right, so again, this is taking place during All-Star Week. So this is going to be in Indiana this year.
Yeah.
Talk about the timing that has happened, and get the details so everybody who wants to support can be there to support.
We'll hold the game Sunday. So it's Sunday afternoon before NBA All-Star game. It'll be in the footprint. It's what you call crossover. So like in the footprint of the NBA activations going on. So if you're at NBA All-Star, like the All-Star, NBA All-Star game tickets are really, really hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people can't get those tickets. You can get a ticket to the Up Next game. So come to the Up Next game and, you know, cheer for, you know, the future stars of the NBA.
How would they get a ticket? Just
NBA.com. NBA.com, NBA G League.
So that's part of the package of just not the All-Star game, but like they have a package where you could come to like the
all the fan fest, all
center
the fan,
type thing.
Yes, all the fan
and
fest.
And that's included in that.
Yes.
Okay. And this is exciting. Definitely looking forward to it for sure. Before we leave, any other initiatives that you guys are working on, or what's your vision for, you know, making this league as, you know, big as possible?
Well, you know, obviously, we, like I said, I think that for a long time, our goal was having 30 G League teams, the NBA teams. So we're really close to that. And then continue to create platforms and opportunities for our guys to grow and grow on the court and off the court. So, you know, we talked about Ignite, but for all of our players, we offer them a continuing education program. We offer them job shadow programs we offer, you know, entrepreneur programs where they continue to learn. So just continue to put the league in a place, put our players in a place where they can continue to grow and learn.
How do you feel about the state of basketball right now? A lot of people, you know, the Europeans, they're taking over. It's an international game, and that's even true. How the game is played is more of a European style, the Euro step, right? And people are playing the game more different. Steph has changed the game as far as shooting threes. Now everybody shoots threes. At 12 years old, people come down from half court, shoot threes. You're a big man, but the big man is not really relevant in today's game anymore. 7-footers, Wembanyama 7'4", and he's a guard pretty much. So the game has changed a lot since the 90s and early 2000s and the golden age of the NBA, how people like to say. But I think it's in a good space. What are your thoughts as far as somebody that's actually played the game and you've seen different stages of the game, where we are now, how you feel about
it? I think the game is great. And I mean, I even say that like with a critical eye. I'm not saying like I like every, I would like a couple of more post touches, but I think the game is great. I think the game is a global game. You know, I think the idea that it has to be, you know, how many, you know, Europeans or international players to, you know, taking over the game. I just think like good players, you know, find their way to the best league in the world. And like the NBA is the best league in the world. I think that evolves. Like, you know, I think right now it's a style of, you know, kind of five man out and, you know, pace and, you know, shooting a lot of perimeter shots. So that's the, you know, that's the style that teams are seeing success with now. I think that'll evolve. I don't know if we'll ever go back to, you know, when I had to come play the Knicks in the Garden and it was like Oakley and Mason and Charles Smith. I don't know if we're going to ever go back to that, but, you know.
So Draymond has his way.
But I think your game would have translated.
I think so.
Like knowing your game, yeah, like,
I think so.
I feel like, yeah, there's a Tim Duncan, but your game wasn't really Tim Duncan. You were almost like a face up four in a sense where if you had to step back, I feel like Brook Lopez was a post-up man that now shoots more threes than anybody outside of Dame.
Well, you work on those, like, you evolve. I didn't shoot a lot of threes, but I would have worked on, you know, in this era, I would have worked on it more. I would have been more empowered to shoot them. You know, the coaches would have, so I would have felt better.
Would have been on the floor.
Yeah, so, like, yeah. But I think, like, all of that comes in you know, kind of waves. And I think we'll see, you know, at some point based on like the talent and the type of players you see, you're going to see a different way the game is played.
I think there's another evolution that's happening and maybe most people aren't aware of is players that are now in the exec position. Mm. When we talk about, you know, we just sat down with Andre Iguodala now at the NBA PA. Joe Dumars is here at the league. You're here. Talk about that evolution of guys now stepping in exec roles. You know, Adam Silver probably, you know, he won't be running the NBA forever, right? So now we got guys in training that a league that's dominated by people looking like us can now be run by people that look like us.
I mean, I'll go even beyond that. I think that's a nice thing where you see, you know, I came up where, you know, there was a Joe Dumars running the team and a Billy Knight running the team and Stu Jackson. Mm-hmm. So like, in you know, like we've seen that, mm-hmm. like what we see now with guys, I think that's really exciting is like, they're like business prowess, you know, like a LeBron, the things that he's done, you know, off the court. Like he's, you know, arguably the best player ever, right?
Arguably.
Thank you for
so, that. So, I mean, I say that to respect, you know.
You don't think he's the best player?
I always, you know, like we didn't really get to see Oscar. We didn't really get to see, you know, I saw Kareem, but we didn't really get to see Kareem. So I always think of it like I don't want to.
No, we suck.
You know, my father, he taught me that. He's like, you know.
The four fathers of the game.
Yeah, so I don't,
when he came into this league, there was a man dominating him. He wants to be respectful of the people who think that man.
Yeah, so that's all. I mean, but the things that they're doing, you know, what Magic has done in ownership, you know, Michael Jordan has done in ownership, that we haven't, you know, we hadn't witnessed that before. And I think seeing that, in addition to, you know, you have Andre leading the players union now and, you know, guys, you know, doing things in different executive role. I think the combination of those two is really powerful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And definitely
we're excited about the partnership.
For sure.
It's
going to
be great.
Team EYL, we're coming. Yes. Coming for the chip.
Well, I'm thinking even bigger. I'm thinking, you know, there's a Phoenix team that's coming potentially.
There you go.
We're talking about ownership. I know some guys. I know some guys.
There you go. We connect you with the Suns. Yeah, put something together.
I go up to the 18th floor. We can talk about the Vegas team. We can talk about the Seattle team, too.
All right.
Seattle. Soon come.
If we come.
Soon come. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.